Hello and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 29. How was your week, Micah?
Good, man. Just another busy week. Same old, just trying to adjust. But yeah, it was a good week. I mean, Super Bowl champions, the Denver Broncos. Colorado is buzzing right now. So how was your week?
Yeah, good, man. Pretty average. Yeah, the Broncos won. That was a big deal for sure. Other than that, just kind of worked. I haven't really had a chance to really play games much this week.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I haven't played too much. I've been playing, whenever I do play, I've been playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So
trying to get in here and there when you can.
Whenever I can, yeah. I'm trying to, I prestiged once. I'm about to prestige again, but it's still a fun game, man. Multiplayer, it's a good time. So, but yeah, man, I'm excited for this week. I was thinking about going and seeing Deadpool this weekend, so.
Yeah, same here. Pretty, a lot of good stuff happening lately. A lot of good movies and games, and we saw a ton of awesome trailers at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's dive into it. Like we said, we've both been busy, so there's nothing going to be in our review section this week, or 2 cents, or whatever you want to call it. But we got a lot of news for you guys. The first thing that I saw that came out this week was the final Batman vs. Superman trailer that came out. The movie's coming out March 25th, just around the corner. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out or see it anywhere.
I did. At this point, I feel like they're just showing the same thing over and over again. I know that we talked about earlier in other episodes that me and you, Sean, weren't very happy with the direction of what they picked for content for the trailer, for trailers, plural. And this one is just kind of as well.
Really? I thought the opposite. I'll be honest with you this time. I felt like this should have been the trailer they showed from the beginning. I think we saw Batman, like, kicking ass. We actually saw Wonder Woman do something. We saw, like, a clear, like, distinction when Batman was fighting Superman, and that he had at least the potential to stand up to him because it is such a monumental battle.
Yeah.
I thought it was action-packed. I thought the score was great. I think they showed enough. They didn't highlight a lot of things that I didn't really care about, as far as, like, I don't know how big, like, Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg's character is in it, but they kind of downplayed it a little bit. I thought that was a lot better. I thought it was really good. I feel like that's what they would have went with from the beginning. And I think they probably got a lot of backlash from the first ones. And so I don't know if it finally they listened and put out one that should have just been out the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was good. I felt like it didn't give a ton away from the story. Like, I felt like the other ones gave a little too much away as far as, like, where the story was going, but this one was just kind of action and left me actually more intrigued than the other ones did. So
yeah, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, those are all good points. I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, my just opinion is it was just a normal thing. Yeah, you get to see more Batman actually, like, fighting Superman and being, like, strong. And Superman's confusion and, like, oh my gosh, there's somebody stronger than me. He's just a man type thing. And I don't know. It's good. It was a good trailer, but I just feel like all of them have just been mediocre in my opinion. But, well, I'm still excited for the movie. I just worry about the buzz that they're creating for people to watch this movie, you know? I feel like I've had a lot of just friends and even family members who are like, hey, you're a comic book nerd. Like, what's going on with this Batman versus Superman thing? Like, people are just confused, I think. And everybody that asks me, I tell them, you say, watch Man of Steel, because this happens right after Man of Steel. And the movies are connected very much so. And but yeah, I think I'm excited for it. I can't wait for this movie. Me and Sean have been talking about hype for this movie for about a year now, and
yeah, right, for a long time. I mean, I've been wanting to see it Justice League movie since I was a kid, you know, since the first time I saw any kind of superhero television show or any of that stuff. So
it's pretty exciting. I'm glad that there's not going to be any more trailers. I don't want them to give away anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. We're getting close enough. I kind of want to go dark until it comes out. So.
Totally. Well, moving right along, Rocket League is now available for digital pre-order and pre-download on Xbox One, Sean. It's going to come out on February 17th.
Yeah, absolutely. You could download it now. You can't actually play it until the 17th, and I think it's like whatever it is, East Coast time. Or you'll be able to download it prior, but you'll actually be able to play it at midnight, wherever you are. Which is kind of weird. I mean, I guess I get having it all ready to go so you don't take off running when it comes out. I don't know if it's a big enough title to warrant, like, necessarily, like, all the effort of all of that. I guess. I'm excited to play it, for sure. But I don't feel like I need to be the first one to do it at midnight, you know what I mean? Maybe, like, to get a good name or, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a fun game for sure, but...
Yeah. And I'm not sure the reasoning behind this. The only thing I could think of is that whenever there's a popular game, I know with Fallout, I think they did this model where you could digitally download it and it's already on your hard drive, but it's locked until the release date. And I think that they do that so servers don't crash, so you can download. There's all these downloads that aren't happening like that second at midnight whenever the game comes out.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I could see that for sure. But yeah, for you guys that don't know what Rocket League is, it is, it's like basically soccer meets driving. So it's like a car-based game that you're playing in this giant, arena, and you're playing soccer, essentially. You're playing with a ball, and they're called Rocket League because your cars have rockets, and you can jump up in the air, and it's kind of like a supersonic acrobatic rocket-powered battle car. I've played it before on PC, this is like one of the first times it's come to console. I'm looking forward to it. It's this huge craze right now. A ton of people play it, which I get. Sports games are huge, have been a big deal for a long time. The graphics are on point. A lot of people are interested in it. Soccer is the number one sport in the world, so I could see why a game kind of akin to that would be such a big deal, especially you throw in like cars, you're grabbing another whole market of people. You could customize the cars, you play on teams. It's like a very team oriented game, so you could with your friends have your own full team and take on other teams and other challengers and gain points throughout a season. But yeah, man, I think it's gonna be really cool. I know that the release of this is gonna be for the Xbox One is gonna have all the DLC packs that were on the PC version. So you're gonna hit the ground running and have the full version with everything and plus more. There's actually exclusives.
Yeah, I heard that there's a Halo kind of like it's called a hog sticker kind of car for that for part of the DLC, and then there's like a Gears of War car called the Armadillo that's part of a DLC pack that you can buy. But yeah, the Game of Year edition is probably gonna come with a lot of stuff that you didn't get if you just bought the bare bones, like if you're on PC a while ago or even on PlayStation 4.
Yeah,
it's exciting, man. I can't wait to download it. I'm really hoping to hopefully download it this week and play it because there's been so much freaking buzz about it. I just want to understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, man. It'll be fun. We'll definitely love to start a team, like Team 5280 or something.
Yeah, and you guys can join us. That's a great idea.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, enough of Rocket League. Some other cool news that we heard. Microsoft wishes to make cross-buy a platform feature for PC and Xbox, which just kind of translates into... we talked about Rocket League was a huge PC game, and it's coming into Xbox One. We're seeing a lot more nowadays that developers are trying to release across platform, so they want their games to be on PC. They wanted their games to be on both sets of consoles, the two competitors. Which makes sense. You're getting the widest market share doing that. But yeah, their goal is to someday be able to, you buy a game on PC and Xbox, you're able to save content from if you're playing on your computer or if you're playing on your console, either way, you could bounce back and forth, which is pretty cool. Like, I think that's like a really interesting concept.
Yeah, I mean, there's some details that I have questions about that I'm sure a lot of people do, like your Xbox Live, that would have to be the same as PC, right? Like, your account for...
Well, essentially it is.
Yeah.
You still have an Xbox Live account, which you could do either way. And if it's a Microsoft game, like Quantum Break is the first one they're kind of testing this on.
Right.
Which is supposed to be like the game of the year for Xbox. And that's coming out actually as both Xbox One and PC on the same day. And you'll be able to actually do that, save content from either issue that you're running it on.
Which is
it'd have to be a digital download version, because you'd have to... There's definitely going to be spec differences.
Oh, yeah.
So I would assume that you would have... Yeah, you would definitely have to download both versions, but it makes sense that you should be able to save at least, like, where you are in the story. It's going to be the same game, essentially.
But it's an interesting thing. But what I'm trying to say is, will Xbox players be playing against PC players? Because if that's... that's a problem. Because if you can interchange, like, let's say I'm playing Call of Duty on my PC and I'm progressing online, and then I switch to my Xbox and that's saved progression on my Xbox Live, you know, am I playing against PC players on Xbox Live as well? Because PC players are way faster. That's just a fact. That's well known. Mouse speeds, and just the specs for PC are better. So I don't know, that might create a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily say that PCs are faster. I think your console probably, it renders graphics quicker, but you are playing a larger screen usually. But I think it's more of like PC gamers just seem to be a little bit more hardcore, and there's definitely a lot more of them. You know, like an average console gamer is not going to put the time in that somebody who built out a rig to play PC games and takes it super seriously and plays 8 hours a day. I don't think so. I don't know, man. That's a good question. That's solid. I think Quantum Break, from what I've heard, isn't really like a
multiplayer PvP
kind of game.
Right.
Yeah, it's more of a story, which that makes sense. That realm totally works with this scenario. Maybe that's kind of one of the next hurdles you're going to have to try to figure out, is how do you work that? I mean, I guess it wouldn't be as... If they're playing on PC, I think they'd have to play against PC players.
Right.
But if they're playing... They save their progression on a PC.
Right.
I think I'm fine with them playing on a console, as long as they're moving their character over to that. You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
I think it's great for single-player games. And I'm just at what any gamer would automatically think. Like, putting PCs in the same servers as console gamers is just, I think, a bad, horrible idea. But I think...
Yeah, I don't think they'd play in the same... I think
right.
that you would just be able to play your character in either version.
I know, but they wish to make this more of a thing in the future with other games, PvP they're going to have to eventually deal with, as opposed to just single player games. And that's just a curiosity I have. I think it's a great idea what they're doing. I think they're tapping into a market of PC gamers, and I think that's a great marketing thing. So I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little add-on, at least, if anything, for right now. Quantum Break releases April 5th, and it's going to be, again, the first company for Microsoft to do this platform, this cross-buy platform feature with. And so basically, if you pre-order the digital version of Quantum Break, you're also going to receive a download code for the Windows 10 version.
Wow.
Yeah, man, that's it's cool. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. I don't know. It's not going to be for everybody. It's not going to add a lot of value for most people. It's kind of like when you buy a Blu-ray and they give you the digital and the DVD version sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I just want the Blu-ray, but that's nice that you gave those to me. At least I could have them if I want them. You know, typically, if somebody is a console gamer, usually playing on a console.
Yeah.
I know there are people that go back and forth. For sure, But yeah, man. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice idea. I use a Mac, so I'll probably never get this feature. But
yeah, me too.
It's a nice thought for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's something that's going to be super popular because I think PC gamers, like, I have a couple friends of mine who do some PC gaming of like MOBAs, like League of Legends or Heroes of New Earth and stuff like that. You know, free to play games, and then they'll play console, but mostly it's predominantly they're really heavy Xbox One, then occasionally like every like month or so they'll jump on PC and play some games. But for people, if that's you out there, that's great. It's a great feature. So pretty interesting.
Most of the people that I know that are in the heavy like PC games are like what you said. Most of them are like World of Warcraft or like MOBAs.
Yeah,
for the majority.
Yeah, so. MOBAs are huge now, especially with the whole esports thing growing as fast as it is. MOBAs are the most fun to watch and the most easy to learn, I think. So
yeah, and you could almost use any. You don't have to have a crazy overclocked PC to run a MOBA.
That's a that's a great point. Yeah, you can dumb down. There's settings you can dumb down with the graphics. And
yeah, and the graphics usually aren't that on point. I mean, they're kind of third person. Like over game kind of views. Yeah.
But that's a great point. Yeah, that's probably another lure of why MOBAs are better. But I know that there's still a lot of crazy PC gamers that like wait for some game and they're like, I souped up my PC for this so much. Yeah. And then it is like stunning, beautiful, but it's like not a lot of people do that because it's expensive and time consuming and yeah.
And there is, I'm sure there is a market. I just don't know a lot. Like Micah said, and I've said before, we use Macs a lot, and we've always been console gamers for the most part. So it's just kind of not the world we've been in.
Yeah.
But yeah, good news. Good news all around. I like to see progression. That's always adding value across the board, especially with a company like Microsoft. You have the opportunity. Why not? You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, obviously, their whole system is built on a Microsoft platform.
Yeah,
their consoles, so it shouldn't be that hard to transition to a PC. And most game developers create a PC version anyways.
That's
because
true.
They're trying to grab that market share anyways.
That's true.
So might as well combine them.
That might hurt some Steam sales. I mean, if guys are like, oh, I have an Xbox One and I might play it on my PC, you know, that's comes with it. I might as well just get it on the Xbox One version. It's very interesting what Microsoft is doing. I think it's a good idea. So
totally. Totally agree. Cool, man. Well, hopefully other game developers will follow, and we'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes, man. But yeah, so there is buzz about Titanfall 2. Have you heard, Sean?
I have heard a little bit. This was a huge game on Xbox One. Not too long after it came out, it was kind of like the first big title to release. It kind of died off quick. There were a lot of issues I felt like the game had that didn't allow it to keep up kind of with where gaming was heading and what games were coming out. They've yet to provide a release date for the next Titanfall experience from the game developer Respawn. But they're for sure that's going to release over the next year, so here in 2016.
Right.
It actually came about because I guess McFarlane Toys is going to be releasing toys inspired by Titanfall. And they made the announcement that it was going to be in conjunction with the new Titanfall 2 game releasing. And they said they would be releasing their toys in winter 2016. And then there was also a spinoff TV show that's going to be kind of developed for Titanfall. Titanfall's graphics and the idea and concept is phenomenal. It's awesome. Yeah. It's like you're driving around these giant mechs, like it's future battles, all this fun stuff. Yeah, but it definitely lacked some to keep my interest.
Yeah, it was this flagship title for Xbox One. When I got it, I played a lot online with Sean. I remember being so enamored and like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then there was just something about the game that just the replay ability, there's just no replay value in the game. Like, there were enough maps, there weren't enough game modes. It still needed tweaking with like gun powers and, you know, versus mech powers, and there was just buffs that needed to happen, and then there was nerfs that needed to happen on some. I mean, multiplayer is such a complicated animal to handle. I mean, look at Destiny, all the problems they've had with their multiplayer experience. And even Call of Duty's had buffs. Even, I mean, Star Wars Battlefront, we just talked like 2 or 3 weeks ago about all of their buffs and nerfs. It's something that a game developer has to keep up on to make sure that, oh, this gun's too powerful. Let's, you know, you want to make it balanced and even, and that takes time and that takes trial and error. And I felt like Titanfall, the multiplayer experience was not balanced. It was very, one-dimensional. And I think that's why it wasn't a game that is a lot of people are still playing today. So I think it's a great game, great concept, and I'm excited to play Titanfall 2. I do want to play Titanfall 2. I just hope that they put a campaign in there and pay a little bit more attention to multiplayer stuff. So what do you think, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting kind of that you brought that up. I was reading this article earlier this week, and I don't remember for the life of me where I saw it at. But basically, it was talking about the concept of in multiplayer games, especially in shooter games, you want to have like these big weapons that are super powerful in the beginning because you want your players to want to progress through the game to get these great guns. But there becomes like a saturation point where everybody has them, and it kind of ruins the play of the game. And so that's why they always kind of overclock guns in the beginning, so it gives you something to work for. And then once everybody kind of has that, they kind of bring it back down and kind of even the playing field.
Yeah.
Which is really smart on their part. I think Titanfall, I know with this new release coming out, they recently revealed that it was going to feature a single-player story campaign, which is something I felt like it was such an intriguing game, and it looked so epic, and you had a little bit of the story was given to you, but I felt like there was so much more that you could develop into something that was more interesting for somebody to play, like why they built these huge mech bots and what had happened. You know, they said that the multiplayer game, the best way they could describe it was that it was going to be like kind of like a story of the American Revolution and Civil War set in space. So it's like this very, like, the world is at odds with itself or civilization. But yeah, man, that makes it more interesting to me just to go through, like, any time I get, like, one of these games that is mostly based on multiplayer, I'd like to go through the story first. I'd like to get, like, a backstory. You get a real feel of how that character works or how the characters work. You build an affinity for a franchise through that story, where you don't really get if you're just running around shooting each other, because essentially that's always the same.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, little variations of it, but I could play Call of Duty, Battlefield, Star Wars, Titanfall, Destiny. Essentially, they're all the same. I mean, like, shooting and killing something is great. It's a lot of fun to do with your friends, but if there's nothing to connect you to what makes that game specifically unique, I think it makes it really hard to continue to build a franchise, which I think they finally figured out. And I'm sure it's a lot of work to build that story and everything. They said they've been working on those titles since 2014. But I'll give it a shot, you know. Like both of us said, we love the graphics. The gameplay was fun. It just lacked something to keep our interest. So
yeah, I think content was a huge, huge issue. And I think Xbox One fell into a crisis when they were launching the console and didn't have enough games, so maybe they rushed that game. I don't know. Maybe they just were like, get it out, who cares, there's no campaign, we need a title now, and they got it out. So I don't know, that seems like a possibility to me. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a fun game. I just hope that, I mean, Halo is a great example of a game that if you don't like multiplayer, the campaign is outstanding and the story is great. And there's not a lot of examples like that anymore. Most of the time, Call of Duty for me has always been, they've had a couple good campaigns, Modern Warfare and a Black Ops here or there, but everyone plays that game for the multiplayer, period, the end. So it'd be nice to have a game like Halo that has a great campaign and a great multiplayer, and something that you can really sink your teeth into, and a good franchise that you can get excited for, you know, for Titanfall 3, and you're like, oh, they left us with a cliffhanger here, you know what I mean? So it seems like they're on the right track, though.
Yeah, I think they have opportunity. You know, Halo's been out forever. I mean, we're in our late 20s, early 30s, and it was around when we were kids, basically. You know, we were in high school or whatever. So for it to make, let's be honest, predominantly people buying games are, you know, our age and younger. And so younger, they didn't get to experience a lot of the beginning part of Halo, and it's kind of a hard franchise to just jump into. There, it is easy in the aspect of playing multiplayer, but to really dive into the whole story, it's kind of hard to do. And I know that they re-released games and everything. But yeah, Titanfall has the opportunity to be the next generation's Titan. You know, next generation's Halo, to produce that story that goes over 20 years.
Yeah. I think we both can agree that there's a ton of potential there, and it's definitely untapped. So this could make or break the franchise. I think it will. If it's a horrible game, it's just that'll be the end of it. But they have an opportunity to make something really special. So hopefully it's a good game, man.
Speaking of Xbox stuff, you know, we kind of have a lot of Xbox content this week. They have been really making a push. I think they kind of want to make 2016 their year. From what I've heard, it's supposed to be their biggest year as far as sales go, with the release of Quantum Break and all this other stuff that's coming out that's kind of exclusive to it. A big thing, though, that we've kind of been dabbling with and talking about lately is virtual reality. All these headsets are coming out over the next year. They're really expensive right now, but like anything, that price is going to drop. But there's been a lot of rumors that Xbox 2, which is going to be obviously the next iteration of Xbox, is going to have a heavy reliance on virtual reality, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of curious to see, too, if that's going to be a fad. But I know for sure they have to do something to keep themselves innovating and pushing forward. So
yeah.
Do you think virtual reality could be that thing?
I do. I mean, I think it's still a big unknown. Obviously the price point is huge. The next generation of consoles, whatever they are, price point is huge. As far as units, like sold units, PlayStation is killing Xbox right now. But as far as like money made on units, I don't know the exact numbers right now, but I know without a doubt that PlayStation has outsold Xbox One severely. I think primarily, Sean, that was due to the price point at launch. I really do. I think that Xbox One made a huge mistake when they launched. They only had Kinect packages that were $500. The Kinect that I have that I bought at launch with you is great. But if I could have saved $150, I would have just not bought it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think with the virtual reality thing, I think price is going to be a huge obstacle that not just Microsoft, but Sony will have to tackle as well. But as besides price point, I think it's something interesting. I don't think we're there yet. People can talk all the hype they want about Oculus Rift and, you know, the HTC headsets and all this stuff. But until it's, I feel like it's kind of like a Blu-ray HD race. You know what I mean, Sean? It's like we didn't know it was going to be HD movies or Blu-ray that won out and Blu-ray won out. So I kind of feel like that's what's going on with the reality headsets right now. So it's like if you buy the wrong headset, you're fucked. So hopefully the next Xbox console, I think, goes virtual reality. I think that would be a great step. It's something exciting, and hopefully it's something that's comfortable and you can play with a long time. I mean, that's a, to me, that seems like a huge obstacle. Because I mean, I play for 3-4 hour session, and I think to myself, if I have this big thing on my head,
Yeah.
Like, it's going to hurt my neck. Like, it's going to weigh me down. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's 3 or 4 pounds on your head. So I wonder how it'll work. And I wonder if the screen will go away, you know, if it's just going to be virtual reality only.
For sure, yeah. That's an interesting point, because it's like, TVs get bigger and bigger and higher resolution, but ultimately in the end, are we just going to sit on our couches and throw on our glasses or whatever,
right,
you know,
right,
and then stare at a blank wall that it's projecting a television screen through our glasses or whatever, which would be great, you know, that you're going to save space, energy. There's a whole list of features, but yeah, how do you get to that point where you make it comfortable enough that people feel that it's not a hindrance or whatever? Even like now, if we play a long session and my headphones even will
hurt
my
totally
ears, and they're super padded, yeah, and, yeah, or you get like the gamer armband,
yeah,
and you like go to stretch your arms out, like you're gonna do the same thing with your neck and your eyes, and
exactly, imagine with that shit on your head, like there's no way you could do like 3-4 hour game sessions. There's no way. It would just kill your head or your neck, something. So I don't know. What do you think overall about it, Sean? Do you think this is a good thing, or?
I think it's good. Inevitably, we're gonna at least try it. It's gonna come. It's all these companies are investing way too much money for it not to.
Yeah.
To at least take a strong run at it. I mean, Facebook. Yeah,
that's true.
Has invested a ton of money. Microsoft, Sony, all these companies are dumping. You know, like you said, they kind of tried to do it with the Kinect sensors, and PlayStation had their version that kind of flopped and failed, and maybe that's going to be incorporated. I would assume that's going to be incorporated into Oculus as well, because then you're visually and you're interacting with the game physically and everything.
Yeah.
But where all that lands, who knows? I mean, technology progresses so fast nowadays, and like I said, with all these people pouring money into it, we could have something like that, that it becomes just like as light as your glasses or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Time will tell.
There's just so many unknowns. And right off the bat, we think of all the problems, and I'm sure you're right. There's too much money invested in this for those people to not have thought of those problems themselves. So,
sure.
It'll be interesting, but it is exciting to know that, you know, Xbox 2 could go VR.
Kind of getting out of the gaming stuff. Wanted to talk about some, I guess, media content, as far as like some TV shows that are coming back out or coming on, and some movie stuff. First one up, I guess, Fox is going to create a new Lethal Weapon TV show.
Hmm.
That like, what was that, in the 90s?
Yeah, like, I think it was like 80s, 90s, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
And Danny Glover, yeah. I think.
Yeah, man. So I guess they've greenlit a pilot to be produced for this, where reports are Damian Wayans Sr. Is going to star as Roger Murtaugh, which was Danny Glover's character, and it's supposed to be like, I guess, the early years of that, or like maybe it's just following what the movie was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think I like Damian Wayne. I think he's a funny guy. I think I love action things, action TV shows, and it seems like a light, just fun, action-packed type thing, and I think it's a good idea. I think this is a show that we could get behind, not like a MacGruber movie or MacGyver movie. Yeah. I think that's still a horrible idea, but I think rebooting Lethal Weapon's a good idea, Sean. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I'll give it a shot. They haven't announced who would play Mel Gibson's role as Riggs or whatever. Be curious to see who they land for that part. Damon Wayans Sr., it's good. Good casting, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential there. But I think it all, again, lands on what, Sean? Casting. Whoever they get to cast these roles is, I think, will depend on the success of it. So,
and good writing.
And good writing, for sure. But I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. Good writing as well.
How many bad cop shows have been out there that just nobody cared about because they were poorly written or produced.
For sure. So pretty exciting. I think it'll be fun. We'll keep an eye on it. But Sean, my favorite show is coming back this Monday. I can't wait. Better Call Saul season 2 is Monday, February 15th on AMC. It will air an hour long post show called Talking Saul to premiere the they do that. AMC always does that with Breaking Bad or Walking Dead. They do like a post show where they'll talk to some actors and kind of recap the story, which I think that's cool that AMC does that with their shows. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, their shows are always so smart and so like there's like such a grandiose story to all of them. I think it's cool when they have like the directors and producers come on or actors and kind of share their perspective of what's going on. And you could really, it gives you the opportunity to like really dive into a show and get to know who and what it's all about. But yeah, I think it's cool. They're doing like the premiere is going to be an hour long after it. And then the final episode, they're going to do the same thing to kind of recap. But I don't think they're going to do it every week, which could be like a little too much, but
yeah,
great show, man. I think the first season was phenomenal. I've been dying to see the second season, so I'm glad it's finally here.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait, man. It's feels like it's been longer than a year. It really does.
Totally, yeah. Well, AMC has produced such great shows, and I've kind of been wondering what was going to be like the next big thing. I don't know how much more of Better Call Saul we have, because there is definitely a definitive end because it goes into Breaking Bad.
Right.
So there's got to be a transition there. And his character now isn't that much playing himself, not that much younger than when Breaking Bad happens. So it can't go on for too many more seasons. But yeah, I don't know what the next big thing is. We watched that Into the Badlands, which was great. I don't know if it's going to get renewed or not. But yeah, I'm curious to see what AMC has in the works for the future.
I agree. I think that they keep producing good content. I mean, Into the Badlands was another great example of a show that me and Sean loved. Whoever they got over there, they are producing great original content. So very excited to do a kind of a 2 cents of Better Call Saul season 2, man, because it's going to be so good.
And that'll actually... What is that? That's Monday, right? So when this show comes out, hopefully you'll be able to hear this that day and then go watch that episode that night.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's hop on to the next topic. Deadpool is out, and it has the biggest opening day ever for an R-rated movie.
So, yeah.
Which isn't a surprise. There's a lot of Deadpool comic book fans. I'm surprised it took Marvel this long to tap that market. He's a widely written about in the Marvel universe, very saturated, is, you know, just like Wolverine is. And I'm surprised, Sean, that it took him this long to make a movie about it. But yeah, according to the Hollywood Reporter, it made $47.5 million on Friday, which is pretty impressive. And that is the top 10 comic book movie openings of all time. It's part of the top 10, right?
Yeah, so that put it up there with, out of all the movies, comic book movies that have been made, it's in the top 10 echelon. The number one overall, regardless of genre, R-rated feature film producing. Which is insane, man.
Yeah.
Opening day is also higher than any 20th Century Fox movie, including X-Men related films. So, which is shocking to me, man. Like, that's insane that it's done better than Wolverine or any X-Men movie. And it's narrowed their scope a lot.
Yeah.
Being an R-rated movie. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of parents taking their kids to it, which they're bad parents. Let's be honest.
There's no, yeah. No, we've already talked about that. If you're taking your fucking kid to see Deadpool, you fucking are an idiot. Yeah. It's not. I saw a lot of funny memes actually about that. That's like, no, Deadpool is not a child's character, but my children like it. Well, tough shit. Be a parent. Like, it's kind of just meant for adult humor, and that's just how it is.
Totally. It's a pretty yeah, a pretty racy movie. I mean, I don't know, there's nudity and super coarse joking and, like, super violent. But, I mean, obviously, like, there has to be a ton of parents taking their kids because there's no way 16 and over year old people are making it the number one viewed movie.
I completely agree with you. I think that there's a lot of kids going to see this movie, but I think it'll break a good amount of records. I love Ryan Reynolds. If you're a listener of this show, you know that I'm sad that we lost him in the DC universe as Green Lantern. Yeah, it'll make a bunch of money, probably at least over $150 million easy. But yeah, hopefully we'll get to see it this weekend. But
it's already on track to gross $117 million during the first 3 days, and $130 million over the course of the 4 days. Which right now, if you guys are listening, it's Monday, is when this episode comes out, which is President's Day, so it makes it a long weekend for schools and banks and all that stuff, which is crazy. Like, nobody, I guess, at the studio thought that it was going to produce what it's produced. They said that it cost like $58 million was the budget for the movie. They expected it to bring in $65 to $70 million over the long weekend, and they're going to double that, triple that even in some cases.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's crazy. It's a big movie. I figured with all the advertising they were doing and...
Jeez, yeah, it was everywhere. The advertising they must have spent boatloads of money. But I think, you know, I follow Ryan Reynolds a lot on social media, and he was really proud of this character. He was really proud of this movie. He was very, it's just one of those roles, I think, that a actor feels like, wow, this is the role I've always wanted to do, and I was made for that role. And I think this is it for Ryan Reynolds. I've heard that he's been reading a lot of comic books and, like, Deadpool, like, what should we do next for the movie? We didn't put this in our notes, but I read an article about how he wants to do an X-Force with Deadpool and Wolverine and stuff, and I would be over the moon if they did an X-Force movie, because that's my favorite Marvel series is X-Force, hands down. That's why I'm so excited for the X-Men Apocalypse, is because that kind of taps into a X-Force story arc of how Archangel gets kind of possessed by the second coming of Apocalypse, and very fascinating story. But I think it's good. I think Ryan Reynolds is going to be popping out a lot of good Deadpool content. So it's pretty exciting.
And so it's no surprise, you know, studio's already greenlit a sequel. They're going to jump on this bandwagon, which they should, because it's going to make a ton of money. Both me and Micah have already expressed that we're going to try to go out and see it sometime this weekend, hopefully. And so we can bring you guys a full review of it, hopefully next episode. But yeah, man, super looking forward to it. So you already said you're planning on seeing this one. Is this a genre that you feel like you continue to see in the future? Are you kind of surprised that it's doing this well?
No, like I said, I don't think it's a shock to me, at least, that it's doing so well. I think that there are a lot of fans of Deadpool in the comic book community, and the merchandising for it, even before this movie came out, was pretty popular in comic book shops. I don't know. I think he's a wacky, violent mercenary, and people like action and they also like humor. And that's exactly what Deadpool is. And, it makes sense to me. And I do think we will see more R-rated superhero movies. Maybe not right away, but in the future, I think we will. You know, the only ones that come to mind, Sean, is The Watchmen. Pretty sure that was rated R.
Yeah.
But besides that, I'm having a hard time thinking of. Yeah, but what do you think? Are you surprised it's doing so well, or do you think that there will be more R-rated movies?
I think it opens the door for it. I think it's a hard sell no matter what, because I don't know, maybe not anymore. I mean, if it you know, is producing the way it is producing, I don't know. I think a lot of comic book heroes lend themselves to be able to reach a wider audience, and that's why they do it. I mean, you want a PG-13 rating because you're going to get a way bigger audience to go to your movie, but maybe this proves the opposite. Maybe there isn't a niche for it of people who want to see a darker movie. I don't know, man. What's that? The new movie that's coming out with all the with Harley Quinn.
Oh, the Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Sorry, I had a brain fart.
No, you're good.
Was that rated R?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a PG-13 rating. For the main reason, Sean, of exactly what you said, you hit it on the head. It's to make more money, you have to make it more accessible for an audience. And should the Suicide Squad be a rated R movie? Should they do content that's more gritty? Absolutely, because it's more true to the comic book and true to the origins of these characters. But ICDC is trying to... They've already been kind of behind Marvel in the movie world, so they aren't going to do anything to jeopardize them making as much money as possible on these movies. So
it would be really interesting. That's probably the only character genre I could see another R-rated movie. I know Batman has, outside of the Justice League, he has like three movies that are just him with Batfleck. I could see something like that. Like if they did The Killing Joke and made that rated R.
I was just about to say, they should do a Jared Leto Joker movie where it's not even Batman. It's just the Joker, and it's just called The Joker, and it's a rated R, just crazy fucking movie. You know what I mean? It would make boatloads of money, I guarantee it.
Well, there's definitely stories out there that they could even incorporate Batman if they wanted to make a really dark one, which I think Ben Affleck's character could do, even if it was just one of the three, or did like one where, you know, it was like a prequel to this Batman, and the Joker kills Robin, like we've seen in the comic books.
Yeah, Jason Todd.
Or something like that, yeah. Something really dark like that, which there are some comic books for sure that get super dark. You know, you said Professor Pig was one of your favorite villains.
Yeah.
That's definitely a rated R character.
Oh, huge.
100%.
Yeah, totally. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Punisher, probably.
Punisher is another great example. The only question, Sean, is will these studios take the risk with the right stories and the right scripts to maybe make a little less money because it is rated R? Obviously, Deadpool isn't seeing that problem. But we'll see. Maybe it'll set precedent that more movies will do that. But either way, it's exciting. I think it's a good thing.
Well, our last bit of news, Mike brought to my attention that in the sequel, it was released that they have already confirmed the sequel for Deadpool, that they're going to have Cable as part of it.
Yeah.
They haven't released who it's going to be or anything like that, just that it was going to be part of the story, which is awesome because both me and Mike have been dying to see like Cable something. What a good opportunity to have. And I know Cable's a big part of the Deadpool story. Or it is featured a lot in Deadpool stories.
So. Yeah, he's crossed paths with Deadpool. I think this is a great idea. I'm so glad to hear this news, Sean. I would like to see, there's been a lot of fan made posters of Cable with Liam Neeson, and I think that would be a great casting role.
Dude, never even thought of that. That's great.
Yeah, there's this really cool, I'll try to send it to you and show you, maybe show our listeners on Twitter or something with a picture, but this guy made a fan-made like Cable, you know, he has that scar on his like left eye that's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, kind of looks like bursting, there's like a scar symmetrically all the way around his eye. It has Liam Neeson's face and it looks great with like a metal arm, and I think that'd be a great casting role. But whoever they cast, it better not be some stupid idea like Channing Tatum for fucking Gambit. It's fucking stupid. But who would you like to see cast for it?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I haven't thought a ton about it. Ron Perlman.
That's a good one. You know who I think that you're gonna disagree, I already know. I think Bruce Willis would make a really good Cable.
Oh, I hate Bruce Willis.
What?
He's getting so old, man.
You don't
man.
Like Die
He's
Hard?
Grumpy. I like Die Hard, but I don't think he'd be a good Cable.
Dude, Cable is fucking old. That's what makes him a badass. He's an old man.
But he's, like, huge.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is, like, 5 foot even.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that he... I still like Bruce Willis. I think that would be another good casting role, but...
Yeah.
I think this is a great opportunity. As far as the story goes, I hope that they tap into Messiah War. I hope that that's the story that they go with Deadpool maybe helping Cable protect this mutant girl who's supposed to save the mutants who are being eradicated by humans. Pretty much it's a mass holocaust of mutants. That was a phenomenal story, Sean. I know you enjoyed it as much as I did. But yeah, we'll see what story they go with it. I haven't heard that Deadpool has like a cliffhanger ending, so who knows? Maybe it is. I don't know.
But yeah.
Either way.
Well, I mean, that's kind of Deadpool's thing. Is he, him, and Wolverine are like the only ones that live forever, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's why he crosses paths with Cable because he's in the future as well, and so he lives through all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's like an endless, and there are literally like a million stories written about Deadpool. So there's like endless amounts of supply of story out there already.
Yeah.
For him to go through. And like his character, it's easy to write him because it's like he's just a crazy, insane person who just takes vigilante justice whenever he sees fit and does whatever he wants. So it's easy to write a story about like anything could set him off. And then also, not to mention, you have the entire X-Men universe to pull from. I guess going into Q&A before we wrap this up, that was one of our questions. Who would you see in another Deadpool sequel? We already talked about Cable. Are there other X-Men that you would like to see in a future?
I would love to see a Wolverine Deadpool movie. I think that would be a lot of fun. Maybe somebody part of the X-Force doing like a dual movie. Maybe Olivia Munn with Ryan Reynolds is like a Cyclop Deadpool type thing. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, same. Obviously, Wolverine. We know Hugh Jackman said after Wolverine 3, he's done. He doesn't want to do it. He's been very vocal. But maybe they could convince him, like, hey, do you want to try doing like an R-rated version of Wolverine before you go out? Just make a cameo. You could do something pretty crass or whatever. Show one last jump and dive into that, and you know, no holds bar kind of version of Wolverine would be pretty insane to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just hand in hand, you know, in the comic books, and they're two great characters, the two best characters of the Marvel universe. Why not put them in a movie together and maybe get one more out of Heath since he's been the best Wolverine ever.
Well, it'd be interesting, too, like, because they did fight each other as the same people as Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
In a movie, in a terrible Deadpool version. So I'm sure they'd have to reference it jokingly somehow, figure out how to, like, overcome that. I mean, it was a long time ago, but.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see, man. It's exciting either way. I'm so glad about the Cable news. That's awesome.
All right, let's wrap this up. We had a long week. We're ready to get started on another long week. So
yeah.
But thank you guys again for joining us. Like always, it's been 5280 Nerd. This is episode 29. We are super appreciative of you guys, and we know our episodes haven't quite been up to snuff for the last couple times. We're kind of, like we've said in the past, we're adjusting. But we want to keep producing great content for you guys. We want to keep doing this. It's something that both of us really enjoy and love doing. So thanks for sticking around. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you guys have comments or just a word of encouragement, or if you want to tell us we suck, that's fine too. You can reach us always on Twitter at 5280Nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Bash0077.
And like always, if you're new to the show, we would really appreciate you guys go and subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us, you know, give us some stars or whatever. definitely helps the show, helps other people to find it. We love doing this. We love as many people to hear it as we can. But yeah, we love it. We love doing it. Check out our website, Fictitious Nerd. We hope you guys have a great week. Go check out Deadpool.
Have a great weekend. See you guys later. Thank you.